there are legislations which are tabled or which are there in page 11 and 12 in our report. Organizational restructuring update. As reported in our previous annual report, the inspectorate is under the restructuring process. Prior to 2011, the inspectorate had two offices, that is the head office in Cape Town and the other office in Pretoria and Ventura. Further, three regional offices were established, that is in George, Bloemfontein, Durban, during 2011-2012 fiscal year. Employees at head office relocated to this additional regional office. The inspectorate believed that the organizational expansion was necessary to maintain effective management and strengthening further the SPV's system. More importantly, it will also ensure that services are more acceptable to inmates, their families, and also to SPVs. On the 22nd of June 2012, a job evaluation process was concluded within the organization, and there was a need for additional support. A proposed structure was drawn up and submitted to the Minister of Correctional Services, which it was approved. The inspectorate new structure was approved by the Minister of Correctional Services, but a bitter pill to swallow was that we were then informed that funds are not available. And also DCS is reluctant to create hope for us in their PESA system. The CEO and the inspecting Dutch, the REN Health and Skelter, going to the offices of DCS trying to secure funds for us, but it was in vain. Then on the issues of independence of inspectorate. On the 10th October 2012, the Control Committee on Correctional Services invited civil society organizations to make submission on strengthening the independence of the inspectorate. The need for further engagement on the issue was identified for further debate before the Control Committee. The inspectorate submitted a document to Control Committee in this regard. In conclusion of the above, the inspectorate makes the following recommendations for consideration. The inspectorate humbly recommends amendments to Section 85, Subsection 1, Section 88A, Subsection 1, and B, and Subsection 2. Section 91 of the Correctional Services Act, which would address structural concerns. The supra-mentioned sections would read or should read as follows. Section 85 of Section 1 to read. The Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services is an independent government component in the public service under the control of the inspecting judge. Section 88A of Section 1 to read. The inspecting judge must identify a specifically qualified an experienced person as chief executive officer who A is responsible for all administrative, financial, clerical functions of the judicial inspectorate, team is accountable to the Minister of Correctional Services, and C is under control and authority of the inspecting judge. Section 8A, subsection 2, to read. The person contemplated in subsection 1 must be appointed by the Minister of Correctional Services. The entire section, which is section 91, to be amended so as to allow the inspectorate budget to be considered by NATO Treasury, or where its budget is to be derived from Parliament by the transfer of the department for. Honourable Chairperson, the post-establishment of the inspectorate is as follows. We have post one, who is the judge, and also we have the CEO post at the final level at 14, and then the director, one post at the final level at 18, then we have the deputy director, there are three at the final level at 11, and also we have assistant director, there are eight at the final level at 9, and also we have manager. We've got 9 managers at the final level 8, and then we have admin support, 22 staff at the final level 2 and 7. Then also we have the employees on fixed term contracts, which are 34 at the final level 5 and 26. The demographic composition of the inspectorate is as follows. The racial composition of the inspectorate is 80 African, 17 colors, 2 white, the whole number of percentages, and 1% Indian. Then the gender distribution of the inspectorate is 52% female and 48% male as of March 2015. Then coming to the budget and expenditure. Honorable Chairperson, I'm going to start with the 2010-2011, our expenditure from 2010-2011, then 2011-2012, then to be 2012-2013. I guess it should be depicted that there is some increase in this fiscal year. But in 2010-2011, we had a total expenditure of 20,202,000. Then in 2011-2012, then we had expenditure of 24, which is higher than the previous fiscal year. Then in 2012-2013, we have 31,321,000. And as I have said, that a better pill to swallow was that we don't have facts. And here, in 2011-2012, we were allocated a 0.1% budget from the Department of Personal Services. And also, feeling that they have some increment in terms of this different fiscal year, but from correctional services, in 2012-2013, we were then told that we are still going to get the 0.1% budget, which of course it leaves much to the budget. Then information technology. As of 1 November 2012, CETA has been assisting the inspectorate head office with all hardware and software related matters. The DCS still assists the head office of the head office and regional offices with network related matters. IT post has been created on the new post establishment. The inspectorate is waiting for DCS to fund the post. I don't know until when are we going to wait, Chairperson, for maybe. We've been crying and lamenting like a lion, but nothing has been done. The inspectorate has engaged the CS to assist with upgrading with a website. Then, chapter 2, which deals with inspections, investigations, complaints and mandatory reporting. In our previous report, our report 2011-2012, we reported on the establishment of the legal services directorate within the inspectorate. During the current period, we reported on the progress made in respect of this directorate, also reported on its staff and its achievements and objectives. That is regular and standardized inspection, investigation. complaints and monitor submissions of disputes on the data report. The inmate population measures the number of beds available in our correctional officials cells not be identified by the department as intolerable in particular location. The ratio of inmates to available infrastructure has resulted in overcrowding among both sentence offenders and remand detainees. Then going to the inmate population. From a peak in 2008, yes, you can see there. From peak in 2008, there was some decline in terms of the inmate population. Up until to 2013, but even though the end stage or the desired reduction should be at least 25%. Remand detainees. With respect to overcrowding in remand detainees center, continuous and consistent effort is required amongst the criminal justice structure to address unnecessary and premature arrests by SAPS. As alluded to the statement made by the Honourable Member of Parliament, Mr. James Dunst, in the daytime newspaper, I quote, effective enforcement of Section 49G could successfully address overcrowding in remand detainees. And the breakdown of the category of the mind detainees is as follows. I guess if Granny was here, and I guess she was going to be a little bit heavy, because in this step we managed to differentiate the steps on the issues of male and female, as she was complaining yesterday. Then male adults, there are 27,264. Then male juveniles, 19,890. Then male students, 144. Female adults, 7,009. Female juveniles, 368. And female children, only 4. Overcrowding. During inspection, head of operational centers often raise complaints of overcrowding and inadequate staffing. The diagram on the screen illustrates the inmate population versus the capacity of DCS. For inmates incarcerated versus the capacity per DCS region. In Indian case, the capacity should be 12,788, whereas the population is 18,685. Then in housing, the capacity should be 25,909, and then the population is 38,406. Then in KZN, the capacity is 21,707. Whereas the population is 27,604. In LMN, the capacity is 19,006, whereas the population should be 21,702. And in Free State, Northern Cape, which according to our staff, it looks like it's the only reason that it doesn't have much or doesn't have problems in terms of the overall structure. Which is, the capacity is 21,980, but the population is 20,770. Then in Western case, then the capacity is 19,740, whereas the population is 25,911. Inspections and investigations. The inspectorate conducted 93 inspections and an increase of 25%. And 39 in loco, which means on-site investigation. The inspections conducted through the GCS regions are as follows. I guess you can see for yourself there in that time graph. And after of the aforementioned 93 inspections, the view of the HCC, which are corroborated with the inspection in local done by inspectorate, are as follows. Out of 93, HCCs complained about the infrastructure which is not enough, it's 46. Then after of 93 again, the HCCs also complained about the professional staff in, that's not enough, but 31. In terms of the rehabilitation and the education, which is not enough, it was 15. Then the custodial security staff vacancies, 46. Then the IT system in Halifax was 8. Then the total number of 39 investigations were conducted. Out of the 39 investigations, 21 centers were investigated due to serious violations of human rights allegations. Mojave in Hawaii was the subject of 5 investigations, which included assault, gang-related violence, and suicide. The widely published incident of violence at St. Albans, Hunman, and Portmore also received our immediate attention. And the scope of inmates and complaints and requests. Overview of complaints dealt with or dealt with by ICCV. ICCV dealt with the following complaints that are there in your for the front of you, and the total number of complaints that were dealt with ICCV in 2011-2012 are 424,717, and this number increased in the following fiscal year, which is 2012-2013, to 530,183. Complaints units. The inspectorate comprises of a complaints unit whose main task is to receive and deal with inmate complaints and requests that are not resolved at central level or management area level. The inspectorate uses an electronic reporting system to receive and deal with inmate complaints and requests. The complaints unit received and dealt with 7, 8 complaints and requests coming from inmates, their families, ICCs, and also 222 complaints coming from the fraternal organizations, and the total of the complaints and requests handled was 1,000. Then, when we check in terms of the high rate of complaints and requests from the above table, we come to the following conclusion, that the most complaints come from Barone, 141 complaints coming from inmates, families, inmates and their families, ICCB, and also those emanating from the fraternal organization were 19, and the total was 106. Then followed by the assault, officials on inmates, then we had 65 coming from inmates, their families and ICCB, plus the 34 emanating from the fraternal organization which equals 99. Then the appeal, which is 46, plus 5 emanating from the fraternal organization, then the amount is 251. Healthcare, 43, plus 19 emanating from the fraternal, then the amount is 262. Then the conditions of the center, we had 27, plus 6 emanating from the fraternal organization, then that is 33. Then also we had complaints coming from the about the legal representation, which is 23, plus 7 emanating from the fraternal organization that amounted to 30. And also we had complaints concerning the confiscation of possessions, which is 23. Then this has been reported. In terms of correctional services, the head of correctional center are mandated to report the following actions and or occurrences. All deaths of inmates according to section 15, segregation of inmates according to section 30, use of mechanical restraint, section 31, and use of force, section 32. The mandatory reports are reported by the ACC on the inspectorate electronic. This allows the inspectorate to monitor and to keep record of all the methods reported. Unnatural death. Unnatural death is defined by Wikipedia in the pre-encyclopedia as, I hope, the death resulting from the external cause, such as intentional injury, homicide, or suicide, or unintentional injury such as for detailed information of the unnatural death, please refer to page 50 of our annual report. The unnatural deaths reported in 2012-2013 are higher than all the reported years since 2009. The diagram on the screen depicts that. Okay. Also on the issue of natural death, what is the region? We had suicide hanging. In different case, there is one case. Then in two states and northern case, three, in Southern 4, KZN 4, LMN 3, then in western case is 4, then the total is 19. And suicide arising from fire, in different case we have one, in two states, northern case nothing, counting nothing, KZN 1, and in Western Cape 1, the total is 3. Then in suicide, medication overdose. In two states, in Northern Cape 1, in Hopkins 3, and in KZN 1, LMN nothing, Western Cape 1, then the figure is 6. Then if we add all of those figures, you can go back and check that you get the total number of I'm a little bit challenged in terms of high such as it. But when I have those numbers, then you get that figure right there. Okay. 57 deaths were reported during 2013 12, 2013 fiscal year, of which 15 were recorded as unnatural other or unnatural unknown death. The unnatural other or unnatural unknown death are classified like this because the result of postmortem were not received at the time of recording. The postmortem is conducted by the Department of Health and in such reports are normally delayed. Then homicide. In this case, there is nothing, okay, in health end, in terms of assault on gang murder, KZN only one. Then assault official on inmate in KZN one. Then assault on inmate in LMN one. The execution in Free State and Northern case only one. Then stabbing in Eastern case is 3, then in Haldane is 2, then in case the 10 is 1, then the total is 6. Then when add all of those total horizontal and vertical, you'll end up with that 10. Then in terms of natural death, total natural death has according to reported from 1998 until 2012. From 1998 was an upline, then as of the 2003, then there was a decline up until in 2012, which is 652. I cannot go any more with this. Then coming to segregation, we reported in terms of segregation as of 2008-2009 fiscal year and to 2012-2013 fiscal year. Then the segregation in 2008-2009 was 6,022. And that brown dot, I don't know whether it wants to be that brown dot, it stands for the appeal. That says, in terms of Section 30, subsection 7 of the Correctional Services Act, 3.1, inmates can appeal to the inspecting judge who has 72 hours to decide on the validity of the education. So we did not have these appeals in 2008, and 2009, and also in 2009-2010 fiscal year, but then they emerged in 2010-2011 fiscal year, where the segregation also was higher, with 8,155, and also it went higher the following fiscal year, which is 2011-2012, to 8,585. Then the appeals were 24, and also there was a decline in terms of appeal to 7 in 2012-2013 with the segregation of records of 7,193. Mechanical restraints reported between 2008-2009 to 2012-2013. Also here we are having in that brown dot also the question of the appeal, where it says that in terms of Section 81, Subsection 5 of the Correctional Services Act 3.1, inmates have a right to appeal against the use of mechanical restraint to the inspecting judge who has 72 hours to make his decision. In 2010-2011 fiscal year, we had 67 mechanical restraints, only 7 appeals. And in 2011-2012 fiscal year, we had 239 records on mechanical constraints and with no appeal. And also, there was a little bit of a decline of mechanical restraint in 2012-2013. 207 and with no appeal. Then the uniform court. We also quoted in terms of the uniform court for
During the financial year, a total number of 353 performance audits were conducted.
are independent contractors. They are required to render specific service, and this service then belongs to their MSSP, and which cover the following. That is, they are supposed to do the site visit, and out of this site visit, then they will compile a mini report which is submitted to legal service. And also, interviews, the interview image, and during the financial year under review, the ICTVs conducted a total of 4,944 interviews. Then also, they are supposed to check on the monitoring, which is G365. During the financial year under review, a total number of 103,769 complaints deriving from ICTVs interviews were recorded in the G365. And they are also supposed to do the project consultation. During the year under review, the ICTV conducted 62,816 private consultations with inmates. Then the visitor committee. ICTVs should also attend and participate in the monthly VC committee. Then the VC committee meeting. We are having 50 VCs. And nationally involves the region supervised by the CCO. In terms of Section 94 of the Correctional Services Act, Chapter 1, provisions for the inspecting large to establish a visitor committee for a particular geographical area consisting of ICTVs appointed to correctional center in the area. One of the functions of the VC is to attend and promote the community's interest and involvement in correctional matters. During the year under review, 1,352 complaints were referred to and discussed at VC meeting, and 327 out of these complaints were forwarded to the Directorate Legal Services. Then the stakeholder engagement. The stakeholder engagement for the inspectorate takes place through public calling for nominations. Then public calling for nominations. It is a statutory obligation for inspectorate to involve communities in the appointment processes of the ICC. Then we move to Chapter 4 that deals with the special project, research, and stakeholders.
Mr. Masanto, agreement, you've got 10 minutes left.
Oh,
I said agreement, you've got 10 minutes
left. Can I then quickly say, this chapter deals with the two projects of the judge, that is the special project of the, the M2Jenny Youth Question of Center, and the update on child, children, legislative monitoring tools, and also it deals with the stakeholders engagement that we have presented a memorandum of understanding with the Solomon Jeddah Network. And coming to our recommendation, of course, because we are finalized by time, our recommendation are as follows. It is recommended that the management of this area to assist in the inspectorate, assist the inspectorate with funds for the new approved structure. Also, it is recommended that the Department of Correctional Services should also assist with the creation of posts in the central system. It is recommended that the Department of Public Works should finalize the procurement of new offices for GIGS in the regional office, in regional offices, which of course the inspectorate would like to express its heartfelt gratitude for the assistance of the Corona Committee for us to secure accommodation, even though we are still starting in low funding. But we are taking out from it. And we can see that we are going to cut out. The Based on the independence of each mass instrument, it is recommended that the department must assist with the upgrading of the inspectorate website. Honorable gentlemen, the inspectorate identified a desired environmental model called government component. Chairperson, we recommend that we should migrate to this type of a model. It is recommended that the regional commissioner should engage and approve our monthly and quarterly report and attend to matters mentioned in this report. This air should also ensure that the agencies or their delegates attend the meeting. It is recommended that the V-Order should also address the issues of premature return of complaints to legal services. With our limited resources, we managed to interact with communities, stakeholders, and national and regional level. We also managed to distribute pamphlets during the day at police stations, correctional centers, radio stations, and various stakeholder meetings. The inspectorate intends to meet with the chief operating officer and the relevant chief and deputy commissioner to discuss the issues highlighted in the report. The inspectorate is grateful of the department's assistance in the allowing the Emerson Correctional Center to participate in the inspecting charge special project. In conclusion, this report provides an extensive overview of the work and mandate of the inspectorate in line with the spirit of Correctional Services Act 31. The inspectorate invites a robust and rigorous scrutiny of all its reports and welcomes both criticism and recommendations that, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of Parliament, Honorable Judge, and all stakeholders present, I present the Judicial Inspectorate Report for 2012-2011. Thank you, Enkosi. Bayadangi, ngiyabonga, siyabonga. Ndolibuwa. Thank you.
Mr. Sandra, thank you very much. Judge, we did indicate that we will afford you an opportunity when we close to wrap up, but if you want to make some introductory remark, we can afford you that opportunity, and then we'll open up to members. I am going to do some now, but you will have an opportunity at the end. So if you want, you may make some opening remarks. So. Thank you.
became international recognition. My predecessor went to London last year to give evidence on the demand case. Now, I'm supposed to go to Pretoria for an interlinkage with London in respect of the matters which have been referred to us. And we have given reports on those matters. Three of them emerged from Khartoum, and they wanted us to give reports about the facilities in Khartoum, which were done. I think this shows the importance of chicks. That it's too late now to say that it was discarded. It is in international recognition. So one can just say that it must be out. What should happen is that it must be improved. And we could say that we want to put authorities. We want to be proponents of this year, but which is self-standing and independent. Potentially, we should be in a position like organizations like Human Rights Commission, Public Protector, you know, in that level, that is the Section 9 from Chapter 9 of the Constitution, where those organizations are given more power to deal with the issues they have to report on. Yesterday there was some complaints from one of the participants. They've never received a report from us relating to the issues which were reported in the media throughout the country, that is, from Portland, St. Albans, and Portland. Now, Chair, you will recall that we did submit reports. We sent our inspectors who gave reports on these areas. And we will mention also that so far as Frontfront, it just created as a maximum prison. But it's so old. So when I went there, I just realized that to keep high-risk prisoners in a place like that is unbecoming. And that's why they removed some of them to after the or during the fracas, some were removed to Constance, others were removed to Johannesburg, and so on. They were distributed to all the maximum security prisons. So, the question of the causes of these eruptions, I think we will dealt with Manong. Manong is a sui generis in the sense that it is not really part of us. It's a contract facility between South Africa and Britain. So we do need the facility during our oversight. What happened recently? He said that what happened previously where the doctor was kidnapped and the nurse was kidnapped and so on. So it's a repetition of what had happened before. I think we've challenged. I leave it to the house to participate or raise questions on the research and report which was issued in the case. The other thing I read in the newspaper that said, arriving from our port, where we stayed that the inmates have had enough of the conditions and hence the other words. I think that's too much of a generalization. I don't think it's quite correct. They have complained, but these eruptions were caused by many, many factors. For instance, in the government, it was inmates and inmates fighting. And here in Poland, there was something to do with the kitchen. And in other terms, where its committee, popular committee, went there, it was one man that was virtually responsible for what happened. Because he didn't stick to his. They're taking the inmates instead of opening up the cells early in the morning so the inmates could go and stretch his order. He didn't do it, he just left them there. And at the time when he went to open the cells, it was late. So hence the eruption took place. But Chair, I don't think I must go on discussing all these incidents. The report is that if anybody wants to know about any issue arising from the report, they will have.
Thank you very much. We shall open it up for comments, and Mr. Masondo, we are not going to disappoint you. Your invitation for robust scrutiny of your report. So let me start, Mr. Masondo, where the judge in Frundman. My recollection, Mr. Masondo, was that at Frundman, an inmate passed away. Maybe not on the day, but certainly passed away. Now when I look at your report, homicide, suicide, can you tell me where you reflect that data of improvement in your report? Have you, my recollection is that somebody passed away. And if I look at improvement is in the Free State. If I look at your homicide report, in the Free State you got only one death and you call it execution. Certainly was not suicide. And this is homicide. I'm just trying to understand where would you report on the death that happened in prison? Would it be natural, unnatural, suicide, homicide? What would it be? Can somebody explain that? But I'm unable to pick it up on your annual report in that way.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable
oder Physicist oder Synthesis, whatever question that I need to share section, over to Raka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I just confer with the manager? I will answer it when I just confer. You're right, prima facie, it appears not to be there. It is reflected on our investigation on page 44. Arson drive, homicide official on inmate. But I do acknowledge, Chairperson, that the counter report may not be there as on the concern. I trust you.
Whilst you're concurring, I'm raising that because the Auditor General is very critical about the reliance of information in the DCS report. I'm saying this report is guilty of the same thing. We went to that area. We would imagine that it's going to be shown somewhere. And as Judge was saying, this was a case that was all over the media. It will be a myth of us. And it will also be ducking invitation, Mr. Fondo, of scrutiny. Sometimes you must be careful what you wish for because it's going to come back and bite you. The second point, you can confirm, but I'm just saying that I would have expected it as official on inmate suicide or assault or someone. The second point, can somebody, I almost fell off my chair when I saw this one. On your homicide report, what is execution? What is execution on your homicide report? Can somebody just explain, why are we looking for that? Can somebody explain to me, what is execution on your report? Yeah. I'm looking at your this report. It says execution. I want to know what does execution mean.
Thank you, Chairperson. The classification of financial death. We use the term that is reflected in the department's categorization. The process, so in other words, it's a mandatory report, they report in a particular manner. There are similar concerns, Chairperson, if I can just say, unnatural cause other, unnatural other. The selection of classification is by the department. Now, what we've done is reflected there. Of course, the next question that you're asking is, what are the merits of that matter, whether it is an execution or not? And that question I'll just refer again. I don't have the detail with you, so many matters that the merit or demerit of it will answer in before we close.
No. I'm going to allow that, Mr. Raja, but I'll never allow it again. You see, when you come here, you must be prepared, especially if it is a presentation that you've given to members of Parliament to prepare on. You can't come here when we ask the question and say, I'm going to confer. We expect that you would come with the answer. That's the question. Secondly, when you put into a public report that a government department says the classification was involved in execution, you're going to create unnecessary panic. Because this is a public document. We've got annual report that the whole country is also following. And that's why I'm saying that when you come here, you must be prepared to answer hard questions around execution. So it's fine. You will tell us what is the merits or demerits. Was it an execution? Was it not an execution? So that we correct that perception before we leave here. You're going to tell me where you reflect the death in the fullness. We'll allow you to do that afterwards. The final question that I want to ask on my side, if I allow my colleagues to ask their questions. because of the unknown that you put in terms of death is because we are awaiting a post-mortem, 16 of them. Can somebody give me an indication of these 16, what was the waiting period? And if today as we speak, we've received the reasons for those postmortems. And I said it earlier on, it is just inhumane for the survivors not to know what is the cause of death. It's just inhumane for somebody to be told that my son or daughter was killed, whether by official or by inmate, or passed away, and by the way, we can't give you the reason why that person has died. So, can I have a time frame of the average length of those postmortems? Because I'm very opposed to the department, it's not new. We get this every year and complain every year, and I want to understand why does it take so long for someone to say it's the cause of death or a heart attack or a blind system. Because it doesn't happen in the hospital. So could you answer that one for us? Somebody could answer the in this case of 16, what was the average time, and if by today we have reasons for those 16 specifically that you reported on.
May I answer? It belongs to my village. I'm going to ask Mr. Mushlaba, who's the manager within my directorate, to give you the final detail on this.
No, it wasn't no.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. If I can start with the execution one. The execution one is not the inspectorate that classifies it as execution, but the matter when the department reports on our electronic system, it gets classified as when you're reporting suicide. You'll either report it as gang matter, assault, all those classifications. And then this one, it got classified as...
Let me help you out. We heard the story that you are just a postman.
Yes, yes.
But you know, you hold such a high office because yours is independent. Carries more weight than the department. And my appeal is, let us not say execution if it's not execution. You can't come here and just be the postman of the department. It's wrong. It's wrong to be the postman of the department, generally speaking, because you're supposed to be independent, but more specifically because this categorization worried me when I saw it yesterday. So, if you're saying it is just because you've taken what has come from the department and given it to us, don't even put it in your report, because we'll pick it up from the department. Let's move to the next one, the Hoonpen one, if you have it. That one we'll ask the departments on Wednesday. Mr. Bombo, we're hoping that you are taking notes, that you must expect to explain this situation next week, Wednesday. Hoonpen, somebody wants to talk to Hoonpen or to the 16 postmortems.
Okay, Chairperson, if I can also reply on the unnatural unknown. Oh, with the unnatural unknown, when the department reports, they will report to us. And then they will provide sometimes with the investigation report, but we cannot make a distinction. We cannot finalize the matter until we receive the postmortem, or they receive the postmortem, and then they provide us the postmortem. With regards to the time frame of the postmortem, it differs from province to province. Like now with Western Cape, it's much easier. You will get like in 4 months time, we'll get the postmortem. But in Gauteng, the waiting period for postmortem and toxicology report. Now it's standing, I think, when we inquire, it's standing at 3 years to 4 years. We're still waiting for postmortem report from 2011. So the department, once they receive it, they will provide us with the postmortem from the Department of Health.
Is that acceptable to the department? I mean, to TICS?
We say it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable, but I cannot say that the department is bad, but the Department of Health as well has to be invited this forum, you know, to explain to the committee why it takes long for them to conduct this postmortem and to provide their report.
I'm with officials, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody will educate me. When when you go to Home Affairs to sign or to receive the death certificate, you do normally give the cause of death. Because that will determine, for instance, whether you'll get your insurance payout or not. I'm using it as an example. Now, when for 4 years somebody death certificate is unknown, do we understand that he or her dependents could be deprived if they were the beneficiaries for 4 or 5 years? It can't be acceptable. It can't be acceptable. Now I'm saying, you know, we can't sit as Parliament. We can't sit as Parliament and profess to be humane, profess to be worried about people's dignity and human rights, and deprive the dependent, even if that person was an inmate, deprive the dependent of, I'm just using it as an example, because I would imagine that the insurance company wouldn't pay out if they were not sure. And if somebody comes to me and says, well, it takes 4 years for doesn't matter the correctional services or the Department of Health or whatever, I'm just saying that we must understand the implications to the South African society. Again, I'm saying, Mr. Masala, you invited robust scrutiny. You're going to get robust scrutiny. Because I think this department is a department whose role is such an important role. For those of us that worry about the human rights of other people, it's such an important thing. So that we have to raise the flag. And we cannot year after year say it takes 4 years, so we will just report it accordingly. It takes 5 years, we will just report it accordingly. It can't be acceptable. It can't be acceptable. It just has too many ramifications. And unfortunately, the ones that suffer the most are the ones that need it the most. I can guarantee you, if you take these 16 post-mortems, probably 50 would be just advantaged black people. Who need the thing most? I don't have the figures, but I can almost guarantee you that the vast majority would be black people. Whose descendants need this? Like it. I thought I must make that point. So that we understand that our role and oversight, especially in this committee, we take it seriously, because it's not a mechanical exercise, but it's about what are the issues of South Africans and to the country at the end of the day. I'm looking at Mr. Kaila, we'll come to you. I'm looking to Mr. Kaila and Mr. Mack. I'm hoping that you're ready, because after that I'll come to you guys. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I think your point is taken with regard to the consequences. But I need to, for the record, also say that what Mr. Mashlaba has said, that the way the post-mortem report falls in the jurisdiction of provincial governments, we know that. And we have raised this, in fact, in 2008, my memory serves, in our annual report with regard to the delays. And of course, we've reported like that. Your sentiments clearly are affected with regard to those delays. But to look to judicial inspectors or even the Department of Correctional Services waiting for post-mortems would, of course, we may not have solved ourselves completely, and but that debate would necessarily, in my own mind, have to take place between the National Department of Health, for example, who's given jurisdiction in terms of post-mortem medical legal post-mortem reports to the provincial health department. Similar scenarios appear all the time, I would guess, in our criminal courts, where murder cases cannot be finalized and or inquests because of the same reason. But your point is taken implicitly with regard to going the extra mile and trying to push it along, which we try, but our hands, of course, are tied. Because ultimately, a medical legal post-mortem report, in terms of law, we have to come from a provincial Department of Health pathologist. But not without minimizing or meditating against what your point was. Thank you.
Let's just agree that you guys would let this portfolio committee know ASAP. That's why we have our quarterly meeting. Even if we don't ask for it, we can later we becoming concerned with these things, if it's taking so long, member of parliament will then assist you in that regard. We're not saying that you are to blame for it, but we're saying as an independent oversight, you should be raising the flag. Mr. Max, and you'll do 15, 20 minutes and do your necessary follow-up, and then we'll go to Mr. Pillar.
Thank you, Jay. I'm not saying to repeat things which is, you know, of already in the domain which we discussed past year. However, I totally agree, Judge, with your introduction and your proposals and recommendations with regard to the independent objects. I don't think it is a luxury, it is a necessity, you know. To do your job independently and your sources also independently. However, we had a lot of talk about this in this committee and as well as in your annual report as well. I just want to know, you know, I'm so used to everybody in the same song, but nobody does anything to push this weapon or this wheelbarrow so that it can reach to a point. Is there anything from your side which will initiate this, if any, to ensure that those responsible give attention to this particular thing? Instead of just bringing to our attention, if it's nothing, then obviously then we know it's also our responsibility to debate this issue. That is the one thing. Another thing is we have received a report from the Acting National Commissioner of Correctional Service, dated the 18th of September 2013, with regard to this unrest in Mangaung, the Tupu team. I want to know, do you have jurisdiction into those Tupu teams? The reason why I'm asking this is that our constitution, there's no way in our constitution which indicates that once you become an inmate, your human rights have been suspended. And if you don't have jurisdiction to go and investigate, and especially having regard to this report, it seems that certain things did happen in Mangaung. If you are prohibited to execute your mandate there, in other words, it means that those who negotiated this contract also negotiated and sold the human rights of those inmates. So I just want to know whether you've got jurisdiction, and if you do have jurisdiction, what has been done, although it is not maybe in the term of this report, but if anything has been done before. The department also indicated that under certain conditions, they are eligible to intervene, but they would at the end of September decide what to do with regard to that. So we are waiting to see whether any action steps has been taken. Now, one of the parties towards Songhe Gender Justice Network, one of those partnerships towards DGS, indicated yesterday in their report with the input to DGS annual report, they said here, we are also pleased that 95.8% of the funded vacant DGS posts have been filled. It should be noted, however, that the number of funded posts in DGS is based on the approved accommodation of correctional centers and not on the inmate population. Now my question is, in your assessment at these centers, is there any link, because you know it is overcrowded, totally overcrowded, and they claim that the fertilizer is based on the center capacities. Say for instance, Port will make provision for 3,000. 10,000, but personnel are being employed on the basis of 3,000. Now my question is just, is there any link towards this increase in death, the suicide, and you also mentioned here that a violation on page 34, the state of correctional senses, you say, mentioned here, entire correctional system is not meeting standards for the treatment of inmates and conditions of their detention. With regions, and indeed, within particular centers, the situation differs as it affects on the rights of inmates. That is a violation of inmates' constitutional rights. So is there any link between this understaffing in comparison with inmate population with regard to those complaints? The increase, because I noticed there's a huge increase in complaints to the ICTV. There's an increase in deaths. There's an increase in suicide. Is there a link between those? Because we also had yesterday input from the labor organizations which emphasizes the fact of personnel.
Let me just take those three. I'll allow you later on, otherwise they might get lost. Somebody wants to answer those three? The first one was really just a comment on independence, but are you doing something to push it along? Jurisdiction in Mangaung and the linkage between staff and overcrowding.
We do have jurisdiction in these centers. I just, of course, have been there and we received in an official capacity. You know, they treat us officially that we are from Texas and we are coming to expect the treatment. And they took us around and showed us everything. So to me, it seems they accept our decision. Some of these things have been treated. Mr. Chairman, you asked whether is there any way we can sort of propose action on the things we are hoping about. I do not know. I suppose for doubt in these contexts, or they actually have. And I think that if we rely on DCS, we may not get anything. We must approach the government directly. They must know our plight. So far as this, our standing is concerned. I think so. I don't want anybody to
come. Yes, one more, the linkage between staff complement and the rise in suicide and that type of complement to respond.
Honourable Max, just before I get to that, will be a longer answer. The question of the Free State Northern Cape, the Golden Spit matter, reflect on page 58, table number 40, just for the record. Free State Northern Cape, region reported one case classified as other, homicide, other. I will accept that the classification needs to be a little more closer to what the merits or demerits are. But just from previous chairperson, you asked that question, which we wanted to answer. Then if I can move on to Manga Home currently. We do have an inspector inspecting there at the moment. We want a little more detail. The report, of course, hasn't reached us. We haven't finalized the report because these incidents have taken place recently. But there is our regional inspector there, Ms. Nemangula, who's conducting the inspection as to what's going on there. From preliminary reports on Mangaung, the plan...
No, don't give us the question. Just to ask, are you able to go in about the jurisdiction? The report will discuss when you have the report, not the
jurisdiction. And then Mr. Max's question with regard to the link. On the face of the panel, facing there would be a link between staffing, prisoner numbers, conditions, etc. I accept that. Every inmate having the right to equal treatment, etc. I accept that as a constitutional principle. Insofar as whether there's a nexus and a liability that can arise, Mr. Max, I think it Max, a nexus between whether a liability can arise will of course depend on the merits of each case. We have found in cases where, say for example, a suicide had taken place in a single cell, and the full complement of officials were not there on the day, for example, that one's maybe a little easier, that the department's duty of care and constitutional and legal obligations have been wanting there, and they liable in terms of civil action. May be culpable homicide. Now, in those cases, we do make rulings and recommendations to the department in individual matters, which we put to the department. Now, of course, our jurisdiction with regard to, we end there, that we make the recommendation to the department as to what our evaluation of the evidence is. So, I'm using an example, your question, to answer your question with regard to linkage between effect and effect on prisoner rights and conditions and their treatment in relation to staff totals, overcrowding, etc. So I would guess that as a general proposition, the answer would be yes, that there would be adverse effects. And from an evidential point of view, whether there is a link and whether it can attract civil intellectual liability would, of course, result on the merits. I'd like to add this bit as well. With unnatural deaths, for example, if I can just take those, that ultimately, of course, when a death is unnatural, the state prosecutor will either prosecute, alternatively, it will result in an inquest. Now, we have inquired into deaths in KZN, which were either not prosecuted or we heard from the department that they're waiting for inquest court adjudication Secretary General around the country, and in particular in KZN, that inquest courts, invariably when the matter is not prosecuted, make decisions fairly slowly within the Department of Justice. When one inquires, of course, magistrates, staffing, those things are cited. But from our own perspective, our own jurisdiction, of course, we have made findings which direct liability to the department, and make the recommendation. Of course, it's finality which would fall within the criminal justice process, if I can put it that way. We haven't alluded to all those cases, but to answer, to maybe crystallize, I think there is a link. Of course, there would be a link, generally speaking, between staffing effect on inmate rights. I hope I've got the gist of your question.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to your suicide, this amount here, your increases, you state here on your suicide that it was reported that 20 inmates that either committed suicide by hanging, electrocuting themselves, taking themselves alive, or drug overdose. It was reported. Now, was it reported? Is it figures which you got from the department, or was this verified by personal investigation? The reason why I'm asking it is, and are you sure also as an oversight that it is indeed a suicide? Because, you know, inmates, five of us hang one. We hang him. And when the officials come, nobody saw something, heard something, or say something. And then it's been regarded as a suicide. But it's actually a murder, you know. So what is in place to verify as to whether the information which you only receive, or that when there's a suicide, that you people conduct your investigation? Now, then happy that it is indeed what it has been reported. Secondly, the last one so far, is with regard to your internal audit and financial policies. You indicated you people don't have internal audit here. And then you continue on the next page, on 27, to say that they don't have. And on page 28, you indicate that with the assistance of DCS, audits were conducted on the human resource and financial aspects of the ICC system. And then lower down, in addition, the CEO mandated assistant researcher in the inspectorate to conduct audits of the registry within the human resource subsection, the bursary fund and the EPMGS process. Now the reason why I'm asking the question, first of all, I would like to know as to why or are you even prohibited to ask this internal audit unit, which is supposed to audit DCS, to audit you as well. You know, is there any, something which prevents you from requesting such? An internal audit is defined as an independent, objective, consultative activity which evaluates processes and systems within the department and make recommendations. Listen to the definition, an independent, objective, consultancy activity. Like a slim man. The fact is that once you use the word audit, you cannot be audited by yourself. Your own people are not audited. Your own system. That is an inspection. Not an audit. It's an inspection. I study the subject, internal audit, now at the moment. So that's why I'm knowledgeable about this one. The thing is there anything which prohibits you not to use that independent body to give you? I'm not saying that those who conducted the inspection, my inspection, that result is not a true inspection. or to have an independent view. Because there's a lot of other factors which play a role once you actually order yourself. So I just want to know whether you are going to use it. And what is in place? What do you plan to ensure that there is an independent objective consultant activity in future? Thank you.
I would like to respond on the issue of suicide. What happens when a suicide gets reported to our office? The first thing I will do will ask our ICCCs to do a preliminary report, to do a preliminary inquiry into the whole death, and after that we'll also inform the investigations unit, which will also dispatch a regional inspector to go do an inspection, an investigation, right? The whole situation. Your question as to whether an inmate can be, maybe you are killed before and hanged by the inmate, that will only be, we are able to check when we receive the department's investigation report with the postmortem report. Because when you go through the postmortem report, in fact, it will tell you how the inmate, in fact, passed away. Because then it will tell you whether he was dead before he got hanged. So, it's a post-mortem report, they just tell us that he passed away after before he was banned. So that's how we do our checks and balances. We check through our post-mortem report. I hope I've managed to answer you. Thank you.
Any other questions?
You mentioned an external body. Can you just elaborate on that,
please? Yeah, I'm asking yesterday if you, the DCS, got an internal audit unit which is supposed to do the internal. Whether it's doable, that we don't know, but our factory are, we've got our doubts, and I'm certain we work with Supersort and our metric 60 with DCS. That unit, is there anything which prevents you to request them in the interim while you people don't have an independent internal audit unit to conduct those orders required by law in your department, in just understand? So that is the one thing. The next thing is, the question is, with regard to your information, written information there, on page 27 and page 28, one is that you don't have an internal audit unit, and with the assistance of DCA, you conducted the human resource evidential aspects ICTVs, you asked the department. And further on, the COO, mandated assistant researcher to inspect, in the inspector to conduct an audit in the registry. Now, my problem here is, although you refer to an audit, as indicated, an audit is an independent body which is not involved in your management, day-to-day management, who have a different relationship with management and the officials. My question is, for my view is, yes, it is the best it can be is an inspection because you use your own personnel. It's not an audit, it's an inspection. And what is in place to ensure in future that you establish an audit unit which is responsible for auditing this department of yours. Whether it is, because you mentioned you don't have one, so is there a plan to have an own one, or is there a view that you should ask the same audit committee which is now responsible for DCS to conduct your audit as well? And why not if this is the possibility? Thanks.
On the new establishment that was approved by the minister, to hear his position for internal auditors. So we basically just wait on the closest to Bridget, and then we will be able to appoint an internal auditor for the function of the internal auditor at our office. I must mention that our financial documents are audited by the Auditor General. At the same time, they audit the Department of Correctional Services.
recommendation by the CEO, who felt that it needs to be conducted, but because he wants specifically focused first on HR, and then once off the platform was completed, then filtered down to the financial systems as well. I think 2 months or 3 months ago, the department auditors were there and audited the procurement of this unit in our office.
I get on the Max is saying is that, and we hear what you're saying about the department and the aging, but where your CEO asked somebody from within yourself to go and do it, he was really very fine. I think that was the self effect. Sorry, I don't want it. And I suppose it's about the language that you use, that is a certification. And the point he's making is that it is desirable that you have, when you have your post-establishment, that be one of the first positions that you fill before any other one. How was that?
Thanks, Sir President. And thanks for the presentation from Mr. Mason. Sir President, I'll be on page 59, I'm sorry. The NPA refused to prosecute 4 cases related to official and inmates. I just want to know the reason given by the NPA for not prosecuting. Because we should know in this committee what were the reasons. That's number one. Then on page 51, under parole, we say the circumstances surrounding these assaults were very widely in approximately 80% of the cases there is a merit in the allegations of inmates. I would like them to elaborate so that we understand how they reach these conclusions of 80%. Then in page 42, the table, the post of views, the 45% are incorporated by the number 6, number of mental ills inmates. Where are these inmates kept? Are they kept separate from the other inmates? I think the last one will be 42. Yeah. The last one is a comment in relation to the independence of the inspectorate. I think that person, what the judge has said to me sounds good, that they should consult and meet with the minister to discuss this issue further. The reason why I'm saying this, Chairperson, is that the conditions that were prevailing at the time when this office was formed, I don't know whether they are still the same, meaning that we should revisit the matter. That's what they should do. And I did suggest that last time to the government that they should have a meeting. And it is very good that they are meeting, because in this report, in page 22, it says that there was a meeting that was between the judge, the CEO, and the deputy minister. Meaning that they are meeting, they should discuss this matter there, and then come to us.
Thank you very much. Mentally ill, where they kept the 80% at all, and why does the NPA refuse to prosecute?
I'm going to address the issues in the on page 51 that you were talking about. The 8% of cases with merit, and then the cases where the NPA failed to prosecute. Normally what happens is that in most cases with inmates who are complaints of assault, they will be merit, or in other cases it would be like inmates with bogus complaints. So what would happen is that inmates would maybe say that they make an affidavit to say that there's another agenda. So in about 20% of cases of assault which you receive are those related cases. Whereas when you say there's 80% case where there's merit, when there's actually sufficient facts that there was an assault that occurred, there's witnesses. not necessarily a medical report or so, but there's witnesses against prosecutors. Most of the knowledge or the control the public prosecution issues, the page which is written on the witness rights matter is the prosecution is deciding not to prosecute the case. And in some of the matters what we've done, where we make a finding where there is a prima facie case of assault, we would then also send our finding to the director of public prosecution, and we would inform the inmate that you have a right to ask the director of public prosecution on why they refuse to pursue criminal charges or prosecute the matter.
Thank you. Some of them ill inmates are placed in a hospital unit, depending on the type of mental illness, the type of mental illness, and others who are more stable are kept in the unit. It depends in each specific case on the doctor's recommendation.
No, before the last, because you can't get away from it. These mentally ill people that are either incarcerated in single cells, or some doctor says, yes, he's mentally ill, but he can stay with Mhagat, everybody else. What's your view on that? Because if I get your mandate says, you, over and above everything, must make sure that there's humane conditions, and all those nice things that you talk about. Human dignity, freedom, security, administrative justice, and all those kinds of things. So, again, we're not asking you, or we're not accusing you of detaining. We're asking you as the expert, what is your opinion of this practice of mentally ill people either being put into single cells or kept to highlight it because some doctor said, so he's mentally ill, but it's fine, he can stay there. What is your position on that? I'm talking to Jix, because your mandate is supposed to be. In other words, is it acceptable for your mandate? Not can you do something, is it acceptable for your mandate?
No, Mr. Chairman, definitely it's not acceptable. I think we went to one facility where this man was considered mentally handicapped, and he has stayed in that facility for 3 years. I think that was it was in the last case. I've just forgotten the name of the area. And I think I mentioned when we got there, I said, look, this is wrong. I mean, people who are mentally healthcare are not supposed to stay with people who are sane. I mean, it's wrong. Because that one place, I remember the reason it was given to us is that they don't know where to keep him. And I don't think that's good enough.
We just wanted some sort of support, because I think we've been having this thing for a long time. It can't be correct, ladies and gentlemen, that because you've got nowhere else to put him in Sun City, and they'll be the first one to cry about overcrowding. Besides just the wrongness of it, we're the first one to cry about overcrowding or that self-contained is full. You don't resolve the fullness of that portrait by lumping them into correctional services. So now we just wanted your views. I'm sure members will take note and raise these issues both in the department and in our report. Because ultimately we report to Parliament. We will submit the report to Parliament, and hopefully these will be the things that we will highlight as things that shouldn't be allowed to continue. So and then we'll be able to do that with the knowledge that you concur with our view. Are you done, Mr. Bennett, with your business? All right, Barbara?
Chairperson, on page 47 of this annual report, it indicated that 530,183 complaints were dealt with by the ICCV in 2001-2013. The problem, Chairperson, is that the report does not provide any feedback as to how these complaints were dealt with, whether they were all resolved or not. So I would like to ask, what is the percentage success rate for the resolution of all these complaints, or the cases, shall we call them? The other one, Chairperson, is that the increase in the number of prevailing complaints shows a worrying trend, and this matter should receive serious attention. In some instances, Chair, the issue is that inmates do not get feedback on their request or information to help them understand why certain things are done and certain things are not done. And it's therefore important that communication to inmates should be improved. How does Jix explain the increases in complaints of assaults, for example, by officials and inmates, issue of transfers, all right, so those have been dealt with slightly, and of course, the issue of healthcare. We'll continue with the responses.
Anybody from this? Yeah, all of your complaints dealt with, what is the percentage success rate? What are we doing about communicating back to offenders on their grievances, whether it's positive or negative, so that they are able to better understand why it's happening? Anybody?
Chairperson, I will address the issue of prevalence of complaints. The ICCV system is a system now regional directorate, and legal services basically just deal with the complaints at national level. This is of course after ICCV would have referred it to a visitors committee, and then after it was unresolved at the visitors committee, then it will be referred to Director of Legal Services to deal with. Whereas the number which Mr. Abram is referring to, the 530,183, those were dealt with by ICCVs at correctional center level. So our regional director will probably speak on that issue. When it comes to transfers, as we mentioned there, we did have a survey in our previous annual report on the issues surrounding transfers. And certain pointers were indicated to us as to why there's such an increase in transfers. And in fact, if you look at our state of correctional centers, you would notice that as in the Northern Cape Free State region, that there's not overcrowding there, in fact, there's like, you can call it, there's underpopulation. So those are things actually because it's, those centers are far from families, and those are basically where most of your transfer issues will come from. And we have engaged with the centers from those regions, and it seems that DCS would just keep on transferring inmates to those regions, and of course because it's underpopulated. And that is where the increase of transfer complaints come from. What strategies are taken by six or DCS to alleviate that problem? It is really an ongoing process, and six obviously have to work more closer with the department in terms of what can be done when it comes to transfer issues. But it's really a problem where the press out with something that was probably in the wrong area, if you can call it that. When it comes to our team, we also had a survey in our previous annual report. We are actually focusing very much on mental health at the moment, and we will more substantially report on in our future annual report. But what we've drawn from the previous survey is that there is a real issue when it comes to mental health, And this is why now we make it a focus area where we would see what are these mental health issues and then address it at a level where, as the chief said, mentioned, if it is healthcare facilities, then address it with places like Falkenberg, like those. We have like that mental health board already for our office to see how we can or chicks can assist to alleviate the problem with mental health. But healthcare has these vast issues when it comes to healthcare. It can be TB related, it can be treatment related, but with our conference talk, we identify serious issues and we've identified mental health as a very serious issue at the moment. We have already provided on parole. With the assault issue, one can't give a clear or straight answer to say that it's one...
One
size fits all. Something like that. But most assaults, of course, occur for various reasons, and it could be because of overcrowding, could be because of dissatisfaction, it could be because of officials that themselves ill-disciplined, they're frustrated with inmates and so forth. So there's a lot of issues that give rise to assaults by officials and inmates, but we also identified that some of them can be prevented if proper managerial processes were in place, or if officials have kept to the B orders, if officials have kept to what are required in terms of the legislation. Because what one would notice is that if an inmate was unhappy with an official, it is either because an official has not kept to a B order, or an official has not kept to some policy, which means there's some frustration is created this right. So obviously what the chiefs always put in the recommendations to head of census is to make sure that officials keep to the policies, to legislation, and then after that one can assess, is it really an inmate problem or is it a management problem that could be solved and so forth. That's all I can say on that.
With your permission, I just want to add, it is so, of course, at the annual report level, we are giving you statistics. Our quarterly reports were, of course, designed to give you a little more detail. And what we busy compiling, there's often a lag period that we've been criticized by the department, Chairperson, for raising issues in our quarterly reports, the interim in our quarterly reports, where we say there has been an allegation of an assault. Its finalization, obviously there's a lag time, I think it would be, on average we would say about 6 months getting a report, finalizing it, but in each matter, Chairperson and Honorable Members, we write what we call loosely a ruling with recommendations. Now, we were hoping to have consolidated all the rulings that we had made in assault matters for the previous financial year, which is what we're undertaking right now as we speak. Right? So the merit or demerit Ms. Kurzel was talking about with regard to liability and causes and what the issues were, of course the committee would not be privy to on a evidential kind of level at this stage, but the intention is to complete that process and expand on the merit demerit. Thank you.
No, I take note of these responses on these questions. But Chairperson, although this may not fall within the reporting period, there have been complaints that several inmates at certain centers, and if I may mention one of them, Sonnenwald, were actually doing certain causes, I think of UNISA or something, and suddenly it is told to them that there will no longer be such causes available for them to pursue. Now, our primary focus naturally is to try and create out of those inmates better people when they come out one day. And education is one of the keys to that. If you have anything that it has come across your way with permission of the death, since it is something that I'm made to understand has happened in the last couple of months or weeks. Then, when you look at the reports that one gets now of the use of force, there seems to be a substantial increase from 50 reports in 2011-12 to 83 in 2012-13. And I wonder what you have up to now from the 1st of April onwards. If that trend is continuing, then one should remember that are all the centers reporting on these mandatory obligations as they should, the use of force? And if not, yet, then we need to ask what measures have been taken to increase and to monitor compliance. Thank you.
The Sundar Raja matter seems to be a particular one. I can't recollect the details, but I'd be happy to inquire and look into that one. And of course, if there's an individual matter with a prisoner name, inmate name, and registration number, we can follow that up.
I believe there are quite a few inmates involved.
We will. I don't, as I sit here, I can think anecdotally of one of our complaints. I don't have all those details right now. But we will certainly look at it and we are happy to inquire and drive back to the government. With regard to the use of force, I think I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Mushtaba, who deals with all of that, and he enthusiastically wants to answer this one.
Thank you, Mr. Abraham, if I can answer with regards to the use of force. With the use of force, the increase, what we have talked about, that since 2009, when use of force was introduced, there was no electronic wizard for the department to report the use of force. What they will do, some of the centers, they will just fix, the use of force. So, and that practice continued up until the 3rd of January 2013, when we did with the help of the department, we managed to create a wizard for them to report the use of force. So from there onwards, we are getting reports for the use of force. And what also to move on to a question as to what we have done to monitor that the department does report. The inspections, investigation units, we are the ICCDs and also the ISA. They are expected to report to us on a monthly report. What on that monthly report, one of the things they have to ask the head of centers is to ask them, do you have any mandatory matters that have been reported to chiefs, and if yes, how many have you reported? And then that's how we get in the department to comply with the act.
Four car related incidents or accidents were reported. I'm interested to know the one that is level to the SAPS. Have they started fixing this vehicle? If not, why? Thanks.
Chairperson, I want to add on to what the Honourable Keller said earlier regarding the challenges that the inspectorate faces and regarding its independence, etc., etc. That engagement with the minister proceed at the earliest possible date. I know that the minister is quite amenable to meeting stakeholders, and I'm sure that with that kind of engagement, there could be some fruitful outcomes. Chairperson, the other issue is that the inspected question of the office space. Now, I must be very honest, Chair. I cannot see how the inspectorate should be housed in some of those offices that we have visited, those that were procured by DPW. I don't know how they go about procuring, but the quality and the standard, and in certain instances, the location of these offices are not amenable to the status of the judicial inspectorate. And yet, Chairperson, the Department of Public Works must be called upon. I don't know how we're going to do it, whether it must be through correctional services, that they must post haste bring to conclusion the whole issue of the leasing of these premises. I mean, you see, Chairperson, if an environment is not conducive to the delivery of good products, I mean, you can't go and bake bread in a ramshackle place. You're not going to get the kind of quality you need. Likewise, Chair, if these officials are housed in areas and places which are not amenable to delivering the best possible product, it actually means also that it must be accessible to the community. We must take into account, Chair, that the majority of the people that are in these facilities have relatives who don't have the means. Very few of them can afford to travel long distances. So we need to pay attention to that, Chair. So this is just a comment, but it needs to be done. Chairperson, the other issue is that DCS should take note and that they should ensure that the regional commissioners engage on a regular basis with the inspectors' monthly and quarterly reports, and that they should monitor and comply with the request that to the head of centers and area commissioners. You know, for the reports, explanations, or queries in respect of all matters that are reported therein. If that does not happen, Chair, I don't know how DCS National is going to bring about that kind of compliance. Just as the center has to report to region and province, and then of course from there to national, so should there also be some or other way of monitoring the engagement of these monthly and quarterly reports. Because you see, Jefferson, if you don't just fix the bud, becomes a fostering, a festering sore, and it creates a problem for people. So there has to be that kind of arrangement, Chair, and it should be some other standard thing that should happen, Chair. Finally, Chair, the DCS, I'd say, yeah, should, Chair, I'm a bit more prescriptive in my comment. The DCS must ensure, Chair, that its staff are in attendance, especially the heads of the centers, or their delegated people, at monthly visitors committee meetings, so that they have first-hand knowledge of what has been discussed, and they don't have to wait for reports in order to act, as there can be something happening immediately after that. We're merely trying to make suggestions there that can make life easier for all stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Hi, Ranking Minister. I've got just two from my side before we ask you to wrap up. Can I refer you to page 60? You have a graph that you call vulnerable death, and it's women and juvenile. And
Could you just explain to us what is the cause? You say TB, pneumonia, and so on. Is that true for the women? I'm just curious because I'm thinking that's what you're saying. And you, the second point, you don't seem to report any death in any other province other than KZN for juveniles. Is that accurate? Just yes or no. I mean, I must be even interrogated. I don't know anything to the contrary. I'm just curious that of all the provinces, only KZN has juveniles that have died, whether natural or unnatural. No females died in the Eastern Cape, no females died in East Cape, no females died in Limpopo. Is that reasonably accurate? I'm just asking. That's the first one. The second one, if I refer you to page 24, around your disciplinary matter, you said 6 written warnings, 6 verbal warnings, one was a final one, were issued to staff. Can you give us a sense of the kind of misconduct that these staff members were guilty of? Because you find somebody sleeping on the dock in DCS, or somebody smuggling a gun in DCS, and he's sanctioned his written notice, and you fight for them. So I want to find out from your side also, I want to know that so that we can ascertain whether the sanction fits the crime. You can't have somebody doing something terrible, and then you give him a first warning. Like MPs, these have to also subscribe to a higher sentence than the normal DC employee, quite frankly. Yours has to be a higher standard because you're supposed to be the custodian of the wrong things that DC has done. So I'm just interested in what was the nature of those misconducts that you had given written and final and verbal warnings to. Over to you. I mean, many of them were comments. Let me just remind you, even the death is just really a comment for me. Yes or no, I'm not going to interrogate it, but I'm certainly interested in the nature of the disciplinary cases and also the one car that was involved with SAPS. What is the SAPS liability and are they coming to the butt in terms of sorting that out? Anybody?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. With regards to the SAPS vehicle that was involved in actions there, we have written statements from SAPS where they admitted liability. The problem now is recovering money from SAPS. We have sent them numerous letters, and if we do not receive a response by end of November, we will be taking the state attorney to assisting us in getting the funds from them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I can mention the verbal warnings that was for failure to carry out an infraction. And then it is failed to carry out a lawful order. We're using the code of conduct. And then the verbal warning is failure to report through the line manager. The person does not report through the line manager on 2 occasions. And then the written warnings was a violation of the disciplinary code A. That will be failed to comply with act or regulation. That the person will get a written warning. Also, that was in the final written warning is regarding excessive use of the telephone account. That would be a final written warning in that regard.
Okay, I think members are smiling, so they think that the crime is equivalent to that the sanction is equivalent to the crime, otherwise it would have fought to me, I think. All right, we want to wrap up, Judge, and then allow you just to say, Judge, in your opening comments and throughout the week, we we really need to think that that you made a case for some focus. In fact, not some, more focus on ensuring that Jigs is able to do what he's supposed to do. I think there's been a case made for that from all of us. And I will raise the DCS. I'm not sure that you guys are doing the right video. You know, I'm looking, your budget is 31 million, right? Your budget, entire budget is 31 million, right? The catering budget for DCS, is 26 million, right? How do we prioritize? That catering is 26 million rand. Mabo, you know, someone answered these questions on Wednesday. It just can't be. I'm not sure that a department that carries so much weight in terms of our fellow rights and our constitution is given 21 million rand. I mean, 35 million rand, 31 million rand, the whole year. And your sister departments cater for 26 million rand. There has to be something that is wrong, Grant. I'm sure you agree with me. There must be something wrong. So I'm going to be curious in finding out how do you justify this DCS. I mean, over and above the hammering that you're probably going to get from other members, this will be just one to argue. Okay, I really do. And we take the point very seriously, that the reason why you couldn't perform optimally was because you didn't have staff, because you didn't have money. And the mother body returned 300 million rand, and it says to us, because we didn't fill vacancies. So it is not a deliberate sabotage ploy from the department. So we'll raise those issues on your behalf. I think members have picked that up, so we will raise them on Wednesday next week with the department. There has to be something that must give. So thanks, Lush, and your team. We appreciate the oversight and complementing role that you play for both us, and I would imagine the department also should also be grateful because you assist them to be able to do their job. And from our side, thank you very much. We will write our report on the basis of this and other stuff, and we would either motivate for you to get more money or motivate that you don't get any money at all. It depends on my colleague. But thank you very much. I'll hand over to you, Judge, for your closing comments. Thereafter, members, we will then meet on Wednesday at 2 o'clock where we interrogate the department proper. Over to you, Judge.
Thank you, Chair. I find this interaction very useful because we prepared this report and as you have noticed, certain individuals are responsible for one thing, others are responsible for another thing. So it's a humorous report full of input by various people, but the points we have raised, I think we'll have to attend to them. One, the question of this facilities like Manaung and Kuduma, the Madwani and the Bombay, I think we ought to do something about those centers. After all, the people are there, are our people. There's something going on there. There's a contract between our government and the various governments, and the British government and the American government. But I think we still have a right of oversight to see exactly how our people are treated in those facilities. I think we're right to that. And I'm going to hear it with the minister when I'm with him. The other things. We seem to do our own audit, and I think you're right. I can suggest that we should have an external audit. I think this report indicates a good effort to comply with our mandate. But it still falls short. We must ensure that in those areas where it has been shown to fall short, we try to remedy those instances. Remedy would be other. We did that here on those matters, and also directly with the minister about issues where we feel that DCS is not being remembered. I think this is all about it.
I think the Wonga Ngosi meeting has been attended. And our colleagues in the media and the audit committee, thank you very much.